Welcome to the She Speaks Sport podcast, proudly elevating women's sport and sharing athlete stories in their own voices. Join us for empowering conversations and a front row seat to the stories that deserve to be heard.
It's going to be such a great time today that we're going to be having together on She Speaks Sport because I'm joined by Jamie Southgate. And besides the fact that Jamie is also proudly from Cape Town, which is super cool, she's also our incredible hockey captain, captaining our team. And it's so incredible to have her with me. And before I introduce her, I want to say, Jamie, hi and welcome to the show. It's super cool to be connecting with you ahead of so many exciting things that you're going to be getting up to with the Nkosi Cup. We have the World Cup, which we're going to be talking about a little bit. And I just hope that you've been doing well. And just, I know that you're super excited for everything that's lying ahead. So lovely to connect with you today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Lauren, and thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It really is a privilege to be talking to you. I've heard some great things about the podcast and great things about your adventures as well. So yeah, it really is a privilege and an honor to be here and just to, you know, give everyone a little bit of an insight into the indoor hockey scene. And yeah, just the workings of how the SPA-SA ladies operate day to day, what we've got coming up and just, you know, all the exciting things going forward.
Thank you. And it is so cool because I think that we don't talk about indoor hockey enough. Like we don't talk about the ladies enough. And I feel like when we do talk about it, I was talking about the team and, you know, what's going to be happening soon with the team. And I was sharing with some people that love just women's sport in general. And they were saying to me, wow, like indoor hockey, I want to know about the ladies. I want to know like about their stories. I want to know about them. I was like, go and watch some games, you know, then you can hear all about, you know, stuff and just be exposed to the scene, you know, what's happening. And it's super, super cool. And before we talk about what's happening, the team, your captaincy, everything like that, I'm going to introduce you properly because, of course, you were born and raised in Cape Town, which, of course, is amazing, and attended Wynberg Girls Junior and High School and furthered your studies at Stellenbosch University in sports science and obviously an honors in high performance sport, currently working as the sports coordinator at Bishop's Prep School while also being a national athlete, which is a lot. And you started playing hockey at 9 years old, which we're definitely going to talk about, and then played your first test cap for the SPA South Africa Women's Indoor Team in 2017 against Zimbabwe. And currently you are nearing, and I know that this is exciting, I've had people tell me this, Jamie is nearing 100 caps ahead of this inaugural PSI Nkosi Cup tournament, which is going to be taking place very soon. That is super cool. We're going to talk about that. And obviously a few of your career highlights also include winning the Cup in Malaysia in 2023 and being crowned African champions at the recent 2024 Africa Cup World Cup qualifiers. And we're going to talk about your role as captain, which is very, very important. And also, you know, some of the challenges that you have had as well. Now, when it comes to hockey, of course, this has been part of your life since 9 years old. Now, when you were playing hockey at nine, okay, I have a goddaughter who is playing hockey, who just started playing hockey now. She started playing at 8 years old. I think she's nine now. Oh my goodness. I hope my brother doesn't listen to this podcast. I think she is nine, okay? But were you thinking, oh my gosh, I love hockey. This is going to be like something I do for life. Or it's just when you're nine or when you're so young, is it just like this fun thing? Or how did that develop for you?
So yeah, definitely when I was much younger, I took part in every sport possible. I was encouraged to do so by the school. I was encouraged to do so by my parents. And, you know, never really thinking at that point that this is something I'm going to go and look into a career or become a professional athlete in. Mm-hmm. But definitely I thought that I was going to be probably a competitive athlete in every single sport that I played at school, just because I was competitive like that. Mm-hmm. And I just enjoyed my sport very much and played at a high level from, you know, being 9 years old all the way through. But when it obviously came to grade six, that's when I started playing indoor hockey, actually. So 12 years old, that's when I was introduced to it. And yeah, a different format of hockey, really exciting. And yeah, I just loved it. Just this when I was introduced to PSI as well, you meet different people from all over the province. When you're in a junior school, you usually just play zonal teams. So you kind of know everyone around the Western Cape. But when you get to PSI, it's teams from, all over the country, Joburg, Durban, everywhere, and it's kind of just grown. So definitely at that point, when I was 9 years old, I wasn't thinking that this is going to be a career. I was going to be a professional athlete. But yeah, I was told by my parents at a very young age that jack of all trades, master's none. Little bit of a hard lesson to learn at maybe like 12 years old. But when you get to high school, you got to make those tough decisions if things clash. And hockey was just the one that I had the passion for and that I wanted to continue with. And yeah, it just grew on me and it stayed with me. And I've had really good coaches and people guiding me throughout my career. And that's kept me in the game, and all the players and the people I've met along the way. It's just inspiring and keeps me motivated, keeps me going. And yeah, now we are where we are, 95 caps, nearing 100. And the
Amazing.
journey just keeps on going, and I keep on growing.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, you're only 26 years old. I mean, okay, of course, I'm saying only 26 like that because you're nearing 100 caps for the team. I mean, that is amazing. It is incredible. And reaching that milestone, you're standing like kind of on the threshold of it. You will reach it. How do you feel? Does it feel surreal going, gosh, 100, that is a milestone in any sporting format, whether we're talking even cricket, netball, doesn't matter. It's like 50 is super significant, obviously, but 100 is amazing. It shows that incredible ability to be part of a team for a long time, to show up and despite obstacles as well. And there's things that you've been through in your life, which we're going to touch on, that have been quite intense in your journey. How does this feel to be almost reaching this 100? Is it like, oh wow, okay, I've done it. I'm going to be doing this. How does this feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely surreal, like you mentioned, to be able to reach my 100th cap, especially at this age. I mean, I've been in the team where three players before me have reached their 100, and it's definitely not something that comes around quite often. I was lucky to have joined the team when I did, at a period where we did play a lot of tests and international matches. So I was lucky enough to be there, and I'm obviously still here. I'm pretty much considered an old person, or as they say, a bully in the team. But given my age, I know it's more so just coming with experience. So it's kind of it's surreal. It's something that it's almost a pinch me moment. It's something that when you're going through tough times, you don't think you're actually going to reach, but then it actually sneaks up on you. But I've got to credit everyone that's been alongside me the whole way. Without them around me, there's other players that have been with me for all like 50 caps at first, all 75, and there's some that have been here for all 95. And if I didn't have those players around me, there's probably a chance that maybe I wouldn't have kept going. Like I said, I'm highly motivated by my teammates and just the system that we've created and the team itself. Like, I love the SA Ladies indoor team, and I would do anything for them. And they always have my back, and they're pushing me to be better, pushing me to stay on form. There's an internal drive, but there's also the drive from others to know that they're working hard. So you've got to work, two times harder to make sure that you're keeping up with the youngsters, let's put it that way. But again, I'm not old. I'm not a bully. Not
No.
really.
No. We always laugh at that when it comes to sport. When you're watching sport, they'll be like, oh, this is the veteran of the team coming on, to the court right now at the age of 26, 28, or 30 or something. It's like the veteran of the team. Like anyone that's older than that sitting on the couch is like, oh gosh, you better start taking my vitamins, because I'm definitely a veteran at 32. But that's the nature of sport, right? I mean, the window for your sporting career as such a high performance as being a national athlete is a very specific period of time, and some people don't make like loads of years, but that time we've noticed has been expanding now as our generations are changing, as we have more information about like nutrition and how to look after our bodies, recovery, all those kind of things. You can sort of go longer, but like you said, you're not that old, and definitely maybe you'll reach 200 caps. I mean, that might just be on the, you never know what happens in life. And I wanted to actually ask you about, being crowned the African champions. And that was, at the recent 2024 Africa Cup, the World Cup qualifiers. Take us through that, going there, Did you have the sense that we could do this? You know, we could be at this. We could, World Cup qualification. That is it. That is the goal. That's the arrow. That's what the target we're reaching for. Was that in the team's heart and mindset going to that? And how did it play out? How did it go? And what was the experience like, you know, being crowned those African champions?
Yeah, so I'll actually take you back to 2023 was when we held the World Cup in Pretoria in South Africa. And I think based off that performance, I mean, we were lucky as an African nation. We had two nations go through to the World Cup. So it was South Africa and Namibia. And going into the World Cup of 2023, I think we were, if I may stand to be corrected, one of the lowest ranked teams there. But we were so excited to have the World Cup on home soil. And I kid you not, I think it was the crowd and just the vibe and the hype that actually pushed us through to securing our top or our best ever performance at a World Cup, ending fourth. So based on that and the belief system there of coming in as an underdog and actually performing to a point where, you know, our first goal was let's make the quarterfinal. So that's top eight. And we got there and we said, why not try again? Why not try for more? And then we made the semi-final and then losing out to the Dutch top-class team. But the fact that we were able to secure that fourth spot really set us up and really put us on the map in terms of we can do this and it doesn't matter where you come in, but it just depends on how you perform. Bring us to 2024 when we had our Africa Cup qualified in May slash April this year. We always had a kind of mental block towards our African rivals, Namibia. So going into the tournament, you're always feeling, okay, you know, what is it going to be like? We had a few changes in the team that we had to obviously replace and mitigate due to other commitments such as exams and work and not getting leave. So there's always that struggle when it comes to having full strength teams. So you kind of lack a little bit of belief, but at the same time, you go there into the tournament thinking the ultimate goal here is to win. And an interesting fact is that we haven't won the Africa Cup in about 10 years. So going into that Africa Cup, the belief was there, the belief was strong, the process was followed, the systems were in place. And yeah, we had an amazing time as a team. We really banded together as management staff as well to make sure that we analyzed the opposition team correctly. To, you know, make it quite close in the final over there against Namibia and actually go to shootouts. But we have some real serial shootout takers that carried our team to that gold medal. So definitely the process going up to the Africa Cup qualifier at that point was let's make it to the final because we allowed to have two African nations into the World Cup, but then taking it that step further and actually winning that trophy. So it was a process, and we've had really good, let's say, squad sessions in terms of the full selection squad. And then even if we had replacements in the team are pretty much equally as strong, and that's just the system that we've created, and the belief was there in each individual. And everyone just banded together and had a great time, played some great hockey, and just didn't give up until that final whistle and pushed through. So being able to hold that trophy at the end of the day is a complete team effort from everybody. And yeah, to make history and win it for the first time in 10 years is something very, very special. And now it just means that we've got to carry that forward. We've got to carry that title forward and know that we are the champions that need to be beaten.
I love that mindset as well. And actually, I have goosebumps with you saying, you know, making history and doing this, you know, after 10 years, it is a phenomenal achievement and also testimony to the team, you know, and to how connected it sounds that the team is. Like when you speak about every player and when you speak about the team, even on your personal journey, there is sounds like there's such a unity and a belief in one another and also playing for one another and playing at, you know, together as a unit. And I think that that's very, very powerful, and it always shows in a team. You know, I think people don't often think about that, but when you're watching a team in any sporting format, you can see if there's unity in the team. You can see if the team are strong by how they play together and how they play for one another and how they show up in that way. And it's so evident if you love sport when you're watching it, if a team is like that, you just really pick it up. And it so sounds like that. I have not yet had the privilege of watching you ladies play, but it really sounds like that to me. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing. And having said that, your role of captaining the team, you were vice captain, and you've taken on the role of captaining the team. And how has that changed? Does that change how you approach a game? Or, obviously there's more a little bit more responsibility, of course, when you take on a captaincy, but how have you adapted to that, and how do you take that role on when you're leading a team? There's lots of different people in the team and different personalities and different realities. But tell us a bit about how you approach captaincy and, the unity in the team and the unit that you are in the team.
Yeah, so I think I captain the way that my personality pretty much is. I'm quite quiet initially and very observant. So I try to get to know everyone in their various, personal capacities and just figure out what's the best way to chat to them when it comes to different walks of life, different people, different personalities. And when it comes to actually being on the field, I got some really great advice from our previous captain saying that you need to make sure that you focus on the things that you're doing and that you make sure you do your job correctly first, and then you worry about the rest because you can get caught up in it quite a bit. But it definitely was an adjustment when I took over the captaincy role when we were in Malaysia last year, just to find my feet. It's a new role completely. Being captain of a national team is a huge honor and a privilege, but at the same time, not losing who you are as a person. You just make sure that you keep doing what you've always been doing. I mean, people elect you, or they listen to you, or they look up to you for a reason. And just to know that they're happy with the choice, or they come to you for comfort, or they come to you for advice, is something that's really special in itself, because it means that you are the spokesperson for them, and they're happy to trust you with their reputation, with their hearts, and everything like that going forward. And yeah, it's a big role, but it's something that I think I. Well, not I think that I know I'm quite comfortable with doing. And also at the same time, I may be captain, but there's a lot of leaders in their own right in the team. And I'm very much happy to give way to those people to do what they do best. They have their strengths, I have my strengths, but someone else's strength is my weakness. And I'm very much happy for them to shine. When it comes to certain situations, when it's tense, I'll step in and be the cool, calm, and collected person. If it's getting too intense, just to bring people back down. But at the same time, just constant communication and just, like I said, making sure I don't lose myself in the process, but just being there for the players and standing up for them whenever they need it, or just managing a situation. So yeah, it was an adjustment at first, but learning every step of the way, still learning, still growing. And yeah, it's been good so far. It makes it easier when the group of ladies that you are guiding and leading are such lovely human beings.
That sounds so beautiful, the way that you put it. And I know that you're actually quite a quiet person. You describe yourself as being quite a quiet person and an absolute animal lover, like
Yes.
enjoying spending time with your loved ones and enjoying, being with your family and obviously your dog, which is amazing. I relate to that, although I have a cat, but I mean, that, I mean, just. That quality time and just being able to just when that social battery runs out, you definitely want to be able to take that time and to rest and to be there in that moment. And do you get time to do that? How important is this, especially as a national athlete? I mean, you're not just a national athlete, you're also a sports coordinator at a school. How important is it to be able to take time out, to be able to rest, to be able to prioritize that and making that a priority as well? It's also good physically, but also for your mental health and also personality. Like you said, you as a human being, we each are different. We have different personalities and you have to be in tune with who you are. Do you get to kind of look after yourself in that way and just self-care in that way and say, hey, I can't always be full at my social battery, but I have to take time out and spend quality time with people I love. Do you get to do that and to rest as much as what you would like to do?
Yeah, I think, working at a school, it's super busy. I mean, you've got about 300, 400 odd kids that you're looking after, and obviously working with staff as well. So there are definitely times in the year where it gets super busy, and then you just got to sacrifice that side of yourself for a little bit. But at the same time, my approach is to make sure that I graft hard in the beginning so that I can have that time and affordability to take a rest and look after myself. Definitely. In the nice thing about working in a school is that you get some nice holidays. So definitely when it is that holiday period, I do take full advantage. still obviously do my training in between everything, but definitely take some time off, clock off, do not disturb. And I'm there spending time with family, friends, loved ones, and definitely my dog. Luckily, I go see my dog every day, so that's
That's
pretty
so
nice.
cool.
A little bit of a reset. Yeah, I mean it's an animal that is completely dependent on you, and they're so happy to see you every single day. I can't say the same thing for my family. Maybe they're not happy to see me every day. Maybe I irritate them, but a dog will love you all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, as most people go through it, you get super, super busy times in the year where you do get a little bit of a burnout. But I've done a bit better this year and realizing that my time is valuable. And when it is time for me to take off and to spend it with people, I make sure that everyone is aware and that they respect that. And they do. So it's been a really good relationship with work, with friends, with family, when they understand that, you know, the world we're living in today is a lot busier and a lot crazier, and sometimes a lot it's more difficult. So when people are honest and open and say, "Hey, I just need some time for a mental break. I just need to look after myself," they're quite understanding now in this generation. So definitely busy times in the year, but I do make some time for me. As yeah, I've realized it's very, very important because having a full-time job and also being a full-time athlete is quite tough. But you know, we make it work. And we just make sure we're giving our best in everything we do because that's all that anyone can ever ask for.
Absolutely, it is. And on a personal note as well, obviously we're talking about taking care of yourself and the connection that you have with obviously family and your dog. I love this that we're talking about your dog. And on a personal note, I also wanted to actually ask you underwent brain surgery in 2019, that year that was just before the crazy COVIDness that happened, and it was to remove a benign tumor. But obviously, I mean, it's that must have been quite a scary time. I mean, 2019, it doesn't sound like it was that long ago. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, okay, maybe it was 5 years ago, but still, at that stage, you were like in your early 20s, so you would have been 21. And tell us a little bit about that. What happened? How did you find out that you had this tumor? And undergoing brain surgery must have been a really big decision, because I do have friends that have had that as well. I have two friends actually who have undergone something very similar, and it's a very big decision. And then also there's quite a big recovery time, and you need your family, you need your friends' support. So how was that? Tell us a little bit about going through that at such a young age, and all the thoughts and feelings that you must have had at that time, and especially not only about life, about hockey, about who you are as a person and an individual. And that must have been quite an intense time period for you.
Yeah, definitely. I always make a joke and I say I always knew I was special, but I didn't know I was that special. Just an interesting statistic is that only 1% of people in the entire world get the type of tumor that I had in 2019. So it is quite interesting. But yeah, so we had just come off from our tour to Switzerland in 2019, and I just started getting some dizzy spells. Not really understanding what it was from. Maybe it was a little bit of vertigo. We went to Switzerland when it was snowing in the winter, so you never know. Maybe I caught something, but the dizzy spells just didn't go away. And we went to doctors and obviously tried some medication, did some type of physio exercises to try and get it to correct it. But it was only after 2 days after my 21st birthday where I actually went for the scan. So I went for the scan. And immediately the doctor had said to me, "You've actually got a cancerous tumor that's sitting on your auditory nerve, and we need to operate immediately." So this is just raw imaging that you're seeing on the screen. It wasn't until about 3 hours later we got the call to say that it's actually a benign tumor, but the only way to remove it is through surgery. So you can imagine the emotions that were already happening from that in between that 3 hours. You know, it's probably like my worst fear is cancer and brain. Like two of the worst things that you could ever tell me. And 2 days after my 21st, jeepers, it was quite a hectic time. I'd phoned my then coach at Marty's and said, "Listen, I'm out for the rest of the year. I don't know what's happening, but I have to have the surgery. I'm pulling out of the inter-provincial tournament that was supposed to happen the next month." And yeah, everyone was pretty much just really, really shocked, including family, friends, everyone. But a little bit of relief when we got that call 3 hours later to say it's a benign tumor, but it needs to obviously be taken out surgically. Then Following that, we obviously asked a lot more questions to ask, like, how does this happen? And they basically just said it's actually something that happens when you're in the womb, that it's a developmental cyst that happens when you're actually forming as a baby. So when my central nervous system was forming, a piece of specialized cells such as hair or skin actually formed with my brain. So that's why the tumor was located on my brain stem, or growing towards the brain stem and encasing all of my cranial nerves. So that's where the risk came in. So yeah, it affected things such as vision. Eventually it affected my hearing, affected some facial sensation, but they allowed me to push it out for 6 months because, being the competitive sports person I am, I went and played the varsity hockey tournaments that year and played my final test matches for that period with the SA Ladies indoor team as well against Zimbabwe before having my operation. So we went to the various surgeons to just check and see what are the options, what's the safest thing. And we obviously went with the best surgeon we thought at the time, the surgeon that actually did the operation. And funny enough, it was through a hockey connection that we found that surgeon. So again, thank you to hockey, thank you to the connections, thank you for the people, because if I didn't have this sport, I wouldn't actually have been referred to the surgeon that did such an amazing job. Lots of emotions leading up to it, lots of doubt, mainly from my parents, because they were very scared and very much don't like it when the body is being messed with, especially surgically and by doctors. But I think me being young and fit at the time was reassured that, your recovery is going to be quick. They've done the surgery a million times, and I think I went into that surgery a lot stronger than everyone else around me, which was actually a real blessing in disguise. The day of the surgery, lots of emotions. I definitely had a good cry breakdown, sitting in that bed, just thinking, geez, this operation is 5 hours long. Anything can go wrong. I may not be able to play hockey ever again. Will I be able to speak? Will I be able to do this? I mean, there's risks involved, but at the end of the day, just sat there and said, you know what, this is all I can do now. We leave it up to the hands of the surgeon. And what a brilliant job they did. I mean, I'm sitting here now and I still have to monitor and check the scans, or check my if there's any growth to this day. They left in a little bit of the cyst behind because they didn't want to mess with too many of the blood vessels. But so far, so good. No significant growth so far. But definitely in the mindset that if I ever had to undergo the operation again, that I can, because I've gotten through it the first time. But again, I had an amazing support system behind me that just kept encouraging me and said, you know, this is the right choice. They again were scared for me, but at the same time were brave for me and helped me to feel brave. So yeah, it was definitely a very scary time thinking that, I could never play again. But we got out of it, and actually the recovery time wasn't that long. It was 3 weeks. And 3 weeks after, I went back into the hockey field and played the last few games with our seniors at Marty's. So yeah, it was a really challenging and obviously a little bit of a traumatic event, but at the end of the day, there's a silver lining to say you got through something that's probably one of your biggest fears, and you conquered it, and you're looking and you're alive on the other side, and you're nearing 100 caps.
Thank you so much for sharing that, with me and for everybody that's listening as well. I mean, what it's, we listen to it and it's part of what we hear, but it's part of your journey of life. And just like you said, conquering and overcoming and walking through something that was this fear that you had, but knowing and witnessing someone like yourself that has been through that is kind of encouraging. It's really encouraging. It's this reality that stirs our hearts to say, you know what, it is possible to go through these really scary and traumatic things, the things that we fear, but knowing that we can overcome. And also hearing that you were able to, recover so well and to get back into hockey. And like you said, nearing 100 caps, which we might see you do, over the next few days, but it's going to happen soon. And it's so incredible. And of course, just a testimony as well to the people around you, but also to your own bravery and your own, your own self, your own heart, your own space that you inhabit in this world. And it's so incredible. And I'm so grateful that, you know, everything went well and that you're here and that we're having this conversation and that everything has just kind of fallen into place after that. And I'm super grateful for that. And Jamie, I wanted to ask you one final thing because I really want to know, how are you feeling ahead of this inaugural PSI and Corsi Cup tournament? And of course, it's taking place from the 13th to the 17th of December, which is like right now. And how are you feeling? Of course, it's going to be playing in Wynberg, which is kind of, you know, your home. It's your home ground. I'm going to say it like that. You know, how does it feel? What is your mindset ahead of this? How is the team feeling? And it sounds like it's going to be amazing. Great teams that are playing, men and women's teams. How are you feeling? How is the team feeling ahead of this inaugural tournament, which is going to, I believe, you know, stand up as being very, very exciting?
Yeah, I know. The team is in great spirits. We're all very excited. I mean, personally, getting to play in front of a home crowd at this point of the year, we've done it for the past 4 or 5 years that I've been in the team, but it's the second edition of the inaugural PSI and Corsi Cup. It's something, and it's a feeling, and it's an atmosphere that you don't experience anywhere else.
Wow.
I mean, our ultimate goal is to win the tournament. We came off second best last year. We want to win. It is our preparation for the World Cup. This is the entire World Cup squad and players that are currently in this team. And yeah, we're the African champions, and we want to make sure that we retain that title and retain that status. And we are the team to basically beat.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we the highest ranked team at the moment at this tournament. And yeah, it's just something that we need to live up to. A little bit of pressure, but like they say, diamonds are made under pressure.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just super exciting. And I mean, the possibility of getting to play my 100th cap in a home crowd in Cape Town. This is where I started my indoor hockey career, literally at the Wymap Military Base. A different floor to what people will see. We've got the old World Cup floor currently that we're playing on at the base. But it's literally my home, like you mentioned. Grew up playing indoor hockey here, started through the indoor hockey ranks and have come through all the way to the top level in this exact format at this exact tournament. So it's a feeling that's next to none. And I'm sure a few of the players in the team can say the same thing. They've all been here. They've all played. They've all watched the SA Ladies play in these matches. And now they get to be here inspiring the next generation. So yeah, it's a very special feeling. Everyone is super, super excited to be here. We're just ready and we want to start playing. And that's tomorrow. We kick off tomorrow night at 6 p.m. against the Irish. So it's going to be a nice physical battle, but we're up for it and we're ready.
And we didn't even get to talk about the World Cup that's going to be starting in February next year. We didn't even get to talk about that, which is going to be super, super exciting. But of course, the focus is, you know, for us in Cape Town, there has been quite some buzz and some excitement around what's going to be happening this weekend, because we love, you know how it is in Cape Town, like we love to celebrate and support our athletes. Like everybody that comes and goes, oh yeah, we love playing in Cape Town. Even people from overseas love playing in Cape Town. So I'm sure that the fans and the crowd is going to be there. Families are going to be there. And Jamie, also, do the kids that you teach come and support? How's that? You know, do the fans come out and really support and like want to interact with you ladies as well? Because women's sport is really a super dynamic movement that's happening. And so many people just wanting to connect with the athletes, and doesn't matter what format, you just see there's so much growth around women's sport as well. And the kids that you teach, of course, obviously get like excited. So do you have these fans that come and want to have pictures and want to say hi and just be excited about all of you ladies playing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a few boys at the prep school at Bishops that take part in this tournament every year. And we've actually been, myself and one of my other colleagues that's commentating at the tournament, we managed to get a few tickets for the finals for some of our staff members to actually come and see and experience what it's like to watch indoor hockey. So lots of people coming to support, and we definitely get loads of kids coming up to us for pictures, even at our we had an opening function this evening just to kickstart with all the various countries. And we went to the hotel where majority of the traveling franchises and teams are staying. So loads of kids coming up to us, asking for pictures, asking for autographs. And we love it. We love it because indoor hockey is definitely an exciting game that we want to keep putting on the map and keep building up. And yeah, we love it. If anyone ever wants to come and have a picture with us, we're not going to turn you away.
Yeah.
We're here for the fans. Like I said, we're here to inspire the next generation. It's because of them that we're able to actually play this game and hold these exhibition matches. So yeah, it's lovely. It's a time where we may not be considered professional, but we definitely feel professional when we've got all the different kids and families and supporters coming up to us and asking for photos. It's a little bit of a, again, a pinch me moment and a little bit of imposter syndrome sometimes. But, you know, it gives us that confidence boost as well to know that you've got the nation and people backing you to do your best.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And Jamie, I want to say thank you so, so much for spending some time with me today. It has been such a joy to just get to know a little bit of your journey, but also get to know a little bit about you. And I want to wish you and the whole team nothing but the best for the next couple of days. And just thank you for who you are in this world, you know, not only on the hockey, you know, not only in the hockey reality, but also in life and what you bring to life as well. And thank you so, so much for that. And it's super cool. All the best. And of course, I'm reaching for you for your team to win this weekend. Of course I am. So you're no pressure at all. But thank you so, so much. And just all the best and all the best for everything that's going to be happening up till, you know, the World Cup next year, which isn't that far away. So thank you so, so much.
Yeah, thank you so much again, Lauren, for having me on your podcast. Again, it's been a real an honor and a privilege just to chat to you about all different things hockey, personally, what's going on in the team, what we're looking forward to. And yeah, hopefully we can chat again soon, especially when it's built up to World Cup.
Absolutely. That has to happen because I'm excited about the World Cup already. Well, thank you so much, Jamie, and take care.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.